football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. This is the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. It's 6:30 on a Thursday evening, and we're on the verge of the Premier League returning. Aldo's still on his vacation. We've got Sharpie back. Evening to you, Sharpie.
Evening, Steve.
And Lauro's back with us again. Hello, Lauro.
Evening.
Right. One dressing room I would imagine you would not wanted to have been in this week was the Scottish dressing room.
Why?
With Gordon Strachan giving you a dressing down. I want to know your worst dressing downs in a dressing room. So Tuesday night, 3-0 defeat to Slovakia. And Gordon Strachan, would that possibly be the worst person to sort of fail under,
no,
do you think, for Scotland?
No.
No. So who's the worst person you could imagine going into a dressing room and getting a turn off from?
You had to be.
Fergie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you see it, any of you?
Well, he managed Scotland when I was in 86 and we went to World Cup finals. And he was tough. And around that era as well, Walter Smith, Archie Knox, who were all in the backroom staff as well, they weren't shrinking violets. And if they weren't happy, they'd let you know about it. So, yeah, Gordon.
Yeah, come on, put some butter on the bread. Tell us what was going on in the dressing room with Fergie.
Gordon would do it with words, though, because he's quite clever. Fergie would just be like in your face when you're ready to knock you out.
Really?
Yeah.
We played a World Cup qualifier against Wales at Cardiff the night Jockstein died. Uh-huh. And I'll never forget it. Jim Leighton was a goalkeeper.
Did he ever have his hands sewn back on, do you know?
So we went at half time. We see him rummaging about, and like Fergie's having a right go at him. He'd lost one of his contact lenses and he hadn't brought any replacements. So
World Cup
qualifier.
Under lights, you can't see.
Is it. Exactly. So they had to make a substitution at half time and brought on Alan Ruff. So you can imagine Fergie then, he wasn't happy because he was obviously his manager at club level as well. And he gave him an almighty rollicking, shall we say.
So Alan had his glasses with him on that night. Well, what about you, Laura? What's the worst you've seen?
It wasn't so much it was the worst and the best. It was Joe Fagan, who wasn't the manager. It was because Bob was the manager and we played Brighton away in the Cup. One of those televised Sunday games on a real quagmire of a pitch. Graham sinested his hamstring after about 15 minutes. We were crap, we got beat. 2-0, all came in the dressing room, and Joe was just like really, really quiet, and we were waiting for it, and it never came. It was just kind of someone said, go on, get changed, get on the bus. And of course, we had to drive all the way back on the coach from Brighton. We got into London, and we pulled up outside this hotel, and the lads are going, what's happening here? Shout from the front, might have been Evo, come on, in you come. I went in, straight in the bar. Joe brought everyone a drink, and he said, right. He said, before you drink it, just promise me one thing. And everyone loved Joe and respected him. He just went, will you promise me that will never happen again? And we went, no, boss. He went, cheers. And I think it was really, really, we went out and like, didn't lose games. Yeah, but we were waiting for it. We're going, oh, my God, it's coming now. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. And the bar was full of people. Oh, here we go. And I think it was very cute.
Well, there's ways of reacting to bad times, isn't there, as a manager? That is extremely clever, isn't it? Whereas there's no way Gordon can hold it in. Gordon Strachan's a monster, isn't he, if he's angry? He's to be angry next time you see him.
As Mark says, you don't know what he's like. You know, you don't know what he would have said in the dressing. Would he have flown off the handle? Would he have been diplomatic, hurting deep down, and he would have said it in words? You know,
he's good with words, isn't he? I remember what he said to Crooksy, to Garth Crooks. Garth Crooks was working for BBC and tried to grab him at the end of a match when he was managing Southampton, Gordon. Mm. And as you could tell that Gordon didn't want to speak to him. Mm. As he went past Crooksy, Crooksy just went, Gordon, quick word. He went, velocity, and just kept on running. Brilliant.
Oh, that is great humour, isn't it?
No, but it was a poor result. And listen, what have we in? Three games in, Scotland won't qualify.
No.
Nope.
Which is a shame. And we won't talk about England tonight. It's sort of pointless, isn't it?
Let's look ahead
to the Premier League weekend.
They're almost as bad.
Yeah.
It's quite depressing, really, isn't it?
Because I'm saying in there, when was the last time England played well?
Mm. And should Gareth Southgate be the nailed on manager? If they beat Scotland?
He's going to get it.
If they beat Scotland, they've got to give him a chance.
No, but he'll definitely get it if they beat Scotland.
You know, but the thing again, which drives me nuts, is the press. You know, the press are slaughtering and slating. Is he the man for the job? Get this one, get that. Give the boy, we said it the other night, give the boy time. and then let's see what happens. Yeah. He's best qualified. He's worked for the FA for numerous years, under 21s. Why not give him an opportunity?
And I'll tell you why he'll get it, because what's the name of the guy? Ashworth?
Dan Ashworth, yeah. That's why.
He's
a connection.
He's his protege.
Yeah.
Of course, because he probably gave him the under-23s or under-21s job.
Nailed on.
Previously.
And I can't believe Rooney got slated for his substitute appearance. Never mind anything else that I went in the first 73 minutes. Rooney was getting the blame. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Don't tell me Walcott is a player. Please, never, ever, ever. We have this argument every single... He just doesn't know how to play football. It's pure instinct.
Don't tell me Steve McLaren's a manager either. Come on, Sharpie.
I'll tell you as a coach, I'll tell you that he's not a manager.
Yeah. Good coach. Everybody speaks so highly of him. But it hasn't happened for him in the managerial role. But he couldn't make that one up, could you?
Just give us that real difference between coach-manager. What you expect from your coach, what you expect from your manager.
Well, a good coach works with the players, but when a manager has to make so many decisions, on and off the field, with players and everything else. So it's a totally different job. Now, in the coaching side of things, as we said, at Manchester United, went there, all the players spoke really highly of him. But as a manager, it's different. And up to now, he struggled a little bit. But I think... I think everybody must have been amazed, when the new manager at Derby County was Steve.
But the other thing with the coach, you've almost got to be a mate of the player as well. The manager just hands off, but the coach is a little bit, the manager can give you a rocket, and the coach, a clever coach, comes up and goes, look, he's only trying to say blah, 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 blah.
So that's why it worked so well with sort of Fagan, Ronnie, Evo.
Well, yeah. Ronnie just shouted at everyone, didn't he, on a regular basis. Which was pretty normal. But Joe was basically Bob's ears and eyes and, he just nipped stuff off on the board and everything. Clever.
Right, loads to talk about tonight. We want your calls. It's 6:37 and we can talk about a variety of things. Of course, the Premier League's coming back. Everton are away at Manchester City. Sergio Aguero can't get a goal for love nor money for his country.
Geez. Here we go.
But he can for his home his home team. So I wonder what Evertonians are thinking about that one. Give us a call, 4720967. Liverpool as well. Who is going to play in goal? Is it Mignolet or is it Karius? Is it even a debate? We touched on it the other day. What is it? Still in your mind? Still Karius?
It's really difficult to leave Karius out. How do you justify that?
You say that, but the quotes today in the Echo, Mignolet thinks he's playing.
Well, we said last week, Aldo and I were talking about it and we're thinking... Right, okay. And Aldo said he looked a little bit suspect for crosses. Karius, I haven't seen him.
Just like Mignolet.
Exactly. Yeah. So they thought, going to Mourinho, he'll flood his big players, Fellaini, Ibrahimovic, Zlatan, Pogba, everything else. So the big boy Bailey at the back, they've got big players. So Aldo was a little bit worried about crosses coming. He didn't think the new boy was good enough at crosses. But as you said, Mignolet struggled as well. So I think it's a big decision.
Do you think that's for certain, that that's how Mourinho will play the game?
What?
Just flood the pitch with bullies?
When they can, from set pieces, and it's not generally in the course of the game, no. I don't know if Fellaini will start. Not sure.
Right, let's take our first call. It's Frank, who's a Liverpool fan. He's in Dingle. Evening to you, Frank.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Frank.
What's on your mind?
I just don't like these games when they put Liverpool as favourites. Because certainly the last two seasons, everyone's fancied the game beforehand, but I just don't like it because it just puts the pressure on. And I think with this Mourinho, the myth that he's a tactical genius, I mean, this fella, he'll go there and he'll spoil the game. If he has to spoil the game, he'll spoil the game. And I do think one thing he does do, to be fair to, he exploits the opposition's weaknesses. And he'll put balls in the box. He'll have that Zlatan and Fellaini. I think Fellaini, that's the only way I can see United winning the game. And that, here's a fella who played Robert Huth up front in a Champions League semi-final against us. And he was hailed as a master genius. I mean, if you go to amateur pitches around on a Sunday morning, mate, that happens every time. You know what I mean? I mean, that's one thing he'll do. He'll forget the romance of the game and all this, Man United's history, the free flow and get it out wide and get... But he'll pummel the box because there's no doubt about that's Liverpool's weakness and that's one thing he'll do. He'll target the weakness and he'll exploit it. And that's the only way I can see United getting a result.
But you've got to deal with that, Frank. It's like being a favourite. It's something that players have to deal with. But I tell you what, the way Liverpool have been, especially in the home games, if they play and start the match the way they have done in terms of the pressing, etc., even Manchester United, good, bad or indifferent, will struggle to live with Liverpool. This Liverpool team's a good side, you know. Yes, it's got a weakness, but I tell you what, the front five, for want of a better description, crikey, they're hard to play against. Mm. You'd hate to play against them, Sharpie. Mm. Yeah. They're all over the place. They've all got a little bit of a trick. They can all get you a goal.
Yeah.
And I tell you, they're all fit and they're quick. Apart from Lallana's not so much quick over the ground, but quick, obviously, between the ears. They're a real handful. Mm.
I think as well, Frank, the other one that Mourinho would look at possibly, and I know he's done really, really well in that position, is James Milner. He's done really well at left-back kind of thing. But I'm looking with Lingard and Rashford, you know, whether he puts them down the sides and maybe try and exploit them there. But I agree with you that he may well... The most important thing about Mourinho, he doesn't care how he plays, is winning. Yeah. And I agree with you, he won't necessarily want to play the Manchester United way. But listen, I tell you what, you tell their fans... You know, if they get a win against Liverpool, they'll be, oh, this is us, we're back kind of thing. Yeah. But as Mark says as well, I think he's spot on. Liverpool's front four, for me, can cause problems for anybody. And that, I look at Manchester United defensively, Danny Blind I'm not so sure about. So Liverpool will cause them problems. It's just, as you said, how they can defend set pieces.
Yeah, I'm contradicting myself here. I've been Lallana's biggest critic. Only because he's classed as an attacking midfielder. And before this season, he hasn't chipped in with goals or assists. Now, he's added that to his game.
To be his critic, Frank. Because I tell you why, he's got really, really... He's got outstanding ability, and it's only this year now, as you rightly say, where there's been an end product. We've all been watching Lallana thinking, come on, there's more to you, we know that. But he started to show it.
But he's certainly the first on the press. The pressing game, he triggers that off. And once one goes, they all go. And he's the first to do that. But on the flip side, he's got no... Well, he hasn't had no end product. The Arsenal game, he got a goal. He's chipped in with a few goals and assists. And he'd be a big miss if he didn't play, because the lad's full of confidence at the minute.
Frank, one for you. Would you start with Sturridge?
No, I wouldn't start with Sturridge for my Sunday side, mate. what I mean by that is that there's no question of his ability.
You can't rely on him.
But he's got no heart, no fight, no pat. He's just, if it's his, you know, he's, listen, we're all body language experts. Seeing him on the pitch when it's not going right, he might as well sit next to me in the main stand. Listen, I'm not a fan of him. I'm not having him at all.
And I would never have guessed that.
I don't think Klopp will... He's not Klopp's cup of tea.
No. I think Klopp's managed him fantastically.
He's a number one starter for England, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And yet not for his...
Well, that doesn't count for much.
No, not for his home team. It's a bizarre situation, isn't it?
I think that's right. Why aren't they playing Vardy, for goodness sake?
Mm. Frank, Grace, just quickly, Frank, would you play Karius or Mignolet?
I'd play Mignolet.
There you go. I think there's quite a split. Thank you very much, Frank. I think there's quite a split sort of opinion on all that. He brought up some brilliant other points, didn't he? One he didn't raise, and a player we haven't talked about a lot, is Wijnaldum, who's injured.
Isn't he?
So Emre Can's going to come back in. Now, Emre Can...
Is he definitely ruled out?
This one?
Is he definitely ruled out?
I think that's the
hammy.
Case. I think that's the case. I'm pretty sure on Dutch duty. Is that a good thing for Can and for the team itself?
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. And Wijnaldum's done well. I mean, I don't know about you, Sharpie. I look at players like him and looked at him at Newcastle last year. Never scored an away goal, I don't think, did he? I was happened to be doing Match of the Day too when he scored four against Norwich, and Norwich were hopeless. But you kind of think, you look at him then and he come to Liverpool and all of a sudden he looks like a player. So you're kind of thinking, what is it with these guys? Chan's hardly started, so he'll be ready, won't he?
He's had a bit of an injury. But also there's that other thing. I think there's a bit of split opinion on Chan as well. Yeah, well, I think a lot of fans say he's one of those players that maybe is found out of position a lot, you know, does 40-yard runs and doesn't get back into his position.
I don't really think, Steve, he's had a proper position or a regular position. I think the best I've seen of him when he played in the back three on the right. He was really, really came out and played and passed and everything. But it wouldn't upset me if Wijnaldum's not fit and Chan's playing.
OK, we'll take a short break there. We'll talk Everton in a moment or two. Umani Ass can't get a locker. Wonder why that is. We'll ask Sharpie. Maybe Sharpie will give his locker up at Finch Farm to Umani Ass. Stay right there. We'll
He's
get
got
some
a gold key, Sharpie's locker.
0151 4720 967.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 minutes to 7 o'clock. Welcome back to the Legends. We have Lauro and Sharpie tonight. I'm Steve Hothersall. Let's just talk Everton. First of all, at the start of this part, they face Man City at the weekend. Of course, one player who won't be involved is Umani Ass, who can't even get a locker at Finch Farm at the moment. Now, he gave an interview to The Guardian this week. Yeah. I don't know whether you're... I know you've been away. You've been off in Jersey on a little holiday. Have you seen the article?
I've seen it, yeah.
Did you feel sorry for him at all?
Yes and no.
You see, I did.
Yes and no.
What?
Yes and no.
Sorry for the boy. He's been sort of ostracised. He's been cast out.
How old is he?
He's a human being.
Yeah. But yes and no. He's came in. But listen, people say he's not been given minutes on the pitch. But to get minutes on the pitch, you've got to show in training.
Yeah.
You know what you're all about. So obviously Martinez has paid 13.5 million quid, which honestly, in first impressions, you're thinking, wow, you know, somebody's had us over there. He's came in. He's played a couple of substitute appearances, hasn't really showed anything. This manager's come in, watched the training, right there and then made a decision. He ain't good enough for the team I'm going to play, the team I'm going to pick, the way I want to play. So he said right away, listen, there's no future for you here. Mm. Now, as we spoke off the air, Mark had said before, if you know that, you then go out and try and play game time somewhere, go on loan somewhere or whatever, you know, the contract. There was possibility may well have gone to Crystal Palace. I don't know what happened there. But you want to play games. Now he finds himself from being this so-called, we're led to believe, star in Russia, playing for the under-21s, being banished from the first team dressing room. But the manager's come in and he's paid to make decisions. He's made that decision right away. He's not for him. But for me, Nias will be sitting in a big contract. People say, sit there, take the money. But if you're a footballer deep down, you want to play. You want to play in front of crowds. You don't want to play for the under-21s or under-23s. So for me, I'd be doing my utmost in training, keep myself fit, to try and get out.
But you also want to be treated with a bit of respect as well, don't you?
Yeah, but hold on. He told him straight away, Kevin. Sharp is that one thing that people don't realise is that manager sees you every single day that you train and makes his decision and he's just gone. No.
Does he talk to you every day? Does he give you that? Is there a bit of mentoring?
Talk to you if you really need talking to.
Let's introduce Phil and Walton to this conversation. Big Everton fan. Evening to you, Phil.
All right, mate. All right, Sharpie.
Hi, Phil.
No, I feel sorry for him. Mm. I feel a bit... He didn't ask for the price. He didn't set his price, did he? And he's prepared to sit there in his interview. He's prepared to sit there for months and he still wants to be, as he calls himself, a blue. He still wants to play. He wants to play Premier League football. Mm. He wants to play. He got offered there, I think it was Germany, wasn't he? Mm. And he wasn't happy with that. No, I feel a bit, no. Why can't he be on the bench the odd 5 minutes at the end? We haven't got four, which was short.
Yeah, we are, Phil, but... You know,
he might not have the greatest talent, but he might have to think of being in the right place at the right time.
Well, listen, he's played for the under-21s, he's scored a few goals. Yeah, but listen, as Mark just said there before as well, Laurel just said, the manager's watching him day in, day out. He's watched him in pre-season, he's seen him, he's looked at him, and he's made a decision on the player. You know, he said, he's not for me. He said, Luke Garbutt is not for him. He was another one they shipped out. McGeady was another one. So he's made decisions on three players. You know, and that material, whether they cost 13.5 million or not, that is his decision.
That's
what he's paid for, the manager. So whilst a little bit of sympathy in a way, it hasn't worked out for the boy. And you know, but sometimes that happens in football where your face doesn't fit. You have to move on. For me personally, if I was him, I would have looked to get out. Because I knew there was no future here. It doesn't matter what he does in the under-21s. The manager has made a decision. Now, he's going to sit there and say, I'm going to work hard, which is a great attitude to have. But deep down, he must know that he needs to leave to play.
The other thing, Sharpie, what just say he'd gone to another Premier League club or even a top championship team and say, right, I'll go on loan until the 1st of January and go and say if he's scored a dozen goals. That's your answer. And all of a sudden, the manager, you're now changing his mind, maybe. But how is he going to change his mind playing in the under-21s? It's not going to happen.
He's come from a position where he was the Russian player of the year. Well, he was sort of...
Good for him.
Do you know what I mean? It might be quite a hard mindset for him to adjust to, this idea of...
Well, no, if you're not playing, your job is to play football.
Prove people wrong.
Yeah, so if you're not playing...
Well, he should have gone to Palace, shouldn't he?
Well, I don't know what the situation was or whatever, but Mark said as well, a championship club, get out and play. And he said, imagine he goes to a championship club and then scores 20 goals or something. All of a sudden, people are looking at him and say,
have you seen this kid from Chelsea who's at Bristol City scoring for absolute fun?
Yeah.
He's only 18 years of age. Go and do that.
Phil, I think you made a good shout. Put him on the bench. Come on, let's face it. You've had Joe Max Moore and Dennis Strachan in your side at times.
I'm starting to worry about you. You're getting a bit soft.
Go on, Phil.
I heard enough people slate Marouane Fellaini when he comes to Everton as well.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I mean, enough
of Goodison Park selected Fellaini.
Yeah, I know.
I was standing there and listening to it.
Yeah, Phil, listen. The thing was, Fellaini got a chance. I don't think this boy, honestly, is going to get the chance. You know,
at least give the lad a locker.
Yeah, well, a locker, yeah. Well, that's a bit...
Can he have yours, Sharpie? Have you got a locker?
I wish I had one.
Would you give it him?
My locker's in the groundsman's shed.
Football's officially gone if the kid wants a locker. Yeah. Goodness sake.
Did you have a locker, Laura?
No. Give him a locker so he can put all his wages in it. Yeah.
He didn't name his price, did he?
No.
If you'd have come across for a million or two,
that's right.
It wouldn't be the same thing. But because he's cost us this much money, blah, 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 and everyone finds it quite amusing that we bought, after calling him a donkey and whatever else. But I think that, I don't know. But
Phil, sometimes it'd be signers, it doesn't matter how much, if your face fits, it fits. A new manager comes in, he has his own ideas about players he wants and he doesn't. Now, this is not something that's happened for the first time. This has happened time and time again at clubs where your face doesn't fit.
Here's a quick question for you, Sharpie. If Roberto had left Everton, but went to another club, do you think he'd have taken your man with him?
Good question. He bought him.
Do you think he'd have taken him with him? We're thinking this is a no.
No.
Do you get an inquiry within a football club as to who actually made that decision at the end of the day?
Why would you buy somebody? This is what drives me nuts. Why would you buy somebody for that price and not fancy? You know, I don't know why, and I don't know if he actually ever saw him.
So did Roberto buy him?
Yeah.
It definitely was Roberto. He picked him out, he chose him.
He must have the final decision.
Yeah, he's got to.
But what I'm saying is, so whether the agent said this is his best bits, everybody can put a video together, this is your best bits, and he's bought it. But for 13 and a half million quid, and as Phil quite rightly said, it's a price. If he'd have gotten for a million quid, and you said, oh, it didn't work out, fair enough. But for 13 and a half million quid, I tell you what, fingers have got to be pointed at Roberto Martinez for that one, surely.
And God forbid nothing happens to Rom, or even, well, Cone, it's nothing really. But no. I don't know, we've got nothing in front, have we?
Phil, you're right, and I've said that all along. That's an area he's come in, and that's an area that he needs to look at very, very quickly, starting in January. He's brought the boy in, Valencia, but I think he needs to sign.
He's a donkey as well, isn't he?
What do you mean as well? So you're saying the ass is a donkey?
No.
You turn the tables on him there.
Definitely, Valencia is a donkey, a yard dog, definitely.
Right, Phil, we've got two brilliant managerial matchups this weekend, one on Monday night, but one on Saturday as well. So can Ronald Koeman do one over Pep Guardiola?
Definitely.
How and why?
If they get the team up and they actually listen to him and they play the way he wants them to play, not the way that sort of stuck in their minds from the last two seasons, last three seasons. Yeah, Ronald Koeman can do it. Definitely.
Do you go with that, chaps?
Well, you've got to have that mindset.
I think Everton might nick a point, because I think that one of the things about the international football is most of the players have been traversing around the world, and the first game you come back, you get a bit leggy. I think for a, you know, everyone wants to play against City. Everyone wants to beat them. I think it's one of the best times of the year to play a team that's favoured to win the league when they've had an international break because of where the players have been.
Tottenham can do it. And we're better than them. We're the greatest. We can do it, definitely.
Yeah. That was just about to say, the last two games at City, Celtic,
there you go.
3-3. Done a job on them.
Tottenham
done a job.
I'll think them.
But the only thing, Phil, with me, with Celtic and Spurs, they played a high-tempo game, pressing and everything else. I don't know if our front four are capable of doing that. I hope they are, and we can get something from City.
Have some faith, Sharpie, he will.
Yeah,
Phil, some great shouts. We'll sort of lock her out on your behalf.
Thanks a lot.
We'll get your name
on it. Not giving you a key, though.
Yeah. Phil and Walton, thank you very much indeed. Aguero, he's a doubt. De Bruyne, he's a doubt. Sterling.
Aguero's all right.
De Bruyne, is he 100%?
Played.
De Bruyne.
He played midweek, didn't he?
He was a doubt before the last game.
The Paraguay
played.
Ah, right.
And they think De Bruyne's fit. Which will be a big bonus.
I don't think he'll risk De Bruyne.
No.
Because of the Barcelona game?
Barcelona on the Wednesday, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you really think they'll be prioritising going on at Man City this weekend ahead
of
that game?
You'd want De Bruyne firing against Barca, wouldn't you? Mm.
Give him more time, especially as a hamstring.
Yeah.
You don't want to rush him back.
The next 3 or 4 days will be a massive thing.
They've got enough players, haven't they, to choose for? It doesn't really matter, does it, with Manchester City? You know, you've got a tough one on your hands, whatever.
Yeah.
Right, 7:01. We're going to have another short break. It's the Radio City Legends. Thanks for your company this evening. As always, we're building up to the start of the Premier League again. Get your calls in, 0151 4720 967. Just want to wish the best of luck to all our local boxers who are appearing at the Echo Arena this weekend as well. Like Sir Sean Masher Dodd, of course, Tony Belly, topping the bill, Derry Matthews, Rocky Fielding. This goes on and on. So a brilliant night expected at the Echo on Saturday. If you go and enjoy yourselves. Right, 7:01. Back in a minute with the Radio City Legends.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 7:05, it's the Radio City Legends with Sharpie and Laura. Right, let's do a couple of thumbs up, thumbs down. What's floated their boat or not quite so sunk their boat in the past week in the world of football? Should we start with the negatives?
Yeah.
What's really got your goat?
For me, James McCarthy playing 2 games for Ireland. Yeah. And honestly, I just think I've had this argument again about, you know, the internationals coming at this time of the year and everything else. This is a lad that's hardly played. Had an operation, you know, and hadn't played for Everton, but then had to go away in international duty. And listen, he won't be complaining, you know, playing. But I just think that, you know, 2 games in quick succession after an operation, having not played for his club, and it's this club versus country thing again. So I thought, I know that Coombe's not happy with Irish FA, and I think he's got every right to be.
Surely the Irish FA do a stringent sort of check, look him up and down.
Yeah,
no?
But if he's your
Do you not think the international teams... Do you think there's no care whatsoever?
No. There is care.
No, but just so where's the concern?
The concern is the fact that he's been out. He's had an operation in his groin, and he hasn't played any games for Everton. You know, I don't know what his training's been like, but
so he's played no football until he played for Ireland.
No.
It's a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a risk, and Everton are thinking, okay, he gets injured again, he's out for another 12 weeks or whatever kind of thing. They just thought it was a bit quick that he's been rushed back, and I tend to agree with him. So. You know, for the 90 minutes as well, you know, sometimes you look after the player and say, oh, you can't do that, bring him off after an hour or whatever, but he played 90 minutes and I think that's a disappointing thing from Everton's point of view.
What's annoying you, Laura, this week?
The Derby County owner, Mel Morris. I hope he's listening, he probably isn't. Just, I tell you what, don't bother appointing a manager or a coach, just do it yourself, mate, because it's obvious. Exactly, that's what you want to do. I mean, it's how many managers have they had? Just doesn't work. Everybody knows you can't keep turning over managers because you turn over players, etc., etc., etc. And if you really want to go in the dressing room after games and tear into players, I tell you what, make yourself the manager while you're also the chairman and the owner of Candy Crush or whatever it is. But good luck with that one.
There are some chairmen and owners who want to have control. And I know Jan tells a story of how when he went for the job at Wigan, Dave Whelan said he wanted to have final say on pick of the team on match day.
And
Jan said, well, I don't want that job.
Why would you take the job?
But I presume it does exist, doesn't it, within the four divisions?
I think
it's rarer now, isn't it? I think, you know, I think in the past it's probably
he did
more.
It, didn't he, at Briatore at Queen's Park Rangers when he and Dowie got the job. I don't know if Dowie got the job permanent or
subs,
he was ringing up, take him off, put him on, all that. I mean, why? It's like, no. It's a bit down the road of a chairman buying a player and you don't want him as a manager. Because the thing about that is, you wouldn't play him. You just say to chairman, oh, he's been in training, he's rubbish. I'm not going to pick him. But honestly, the fella at Derby just wants to put the manager's hat on and get on with it.
And have a go. Anything you're happy about this week? Anything you like? A thumbs up?
Steve Bruce back in the game.
Yeah,
you know, I think he was at Hull, but ended, you know, shabbily. He was out for a while. He's got big job at Aston Villa, you know, big club, massive club. Expectation levels now rise again. They want him promoted. So it's a big job for him, but I'd like to see him back. He's a good lad.
one of the good guys. I'm going to go England supporters. Because, I'm not being funny, why would you go and watch that tosh? But they do. Was Wembley not full for the Malta game? Wasn't it?
82,000, 83,000.
Unbelievable. And it's not cheap, Steve, as we know. No. So and after the Euros, if you're an England supporter and you go and you know it's going to be dross, but they still go. Mm. All right, you might not think most of them have got a brain, but they turn up and watch England. Good luck to you.
And we said this the other day, they're a slightly strange breed, though, aren't they? They're not your standard.
Lincoln, Gateshead, Grimsby, Fleetwood, Morecambe. That's all the banners you see, isn't it, all the time? You don't see Liverpool. Premier League banners.
Not many Liverpool.
Right, let's get back to the phone lines. First up in this section of the show, let's welcome to the legends, Robbie. Good evening, Rob.
Well, evening, Steve. To be honest with you, I made up all those are on tonight.
I'll tell him.
He'll probably blow me off the phone when I tell you what I'm phoning up for, to be honest with you.
Not manually.
Yeah, Mignolet. Because Arnold's his number one fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know how he works that one out, but he's his number one fan. But I'm just reading Mignolet again today in the Echo. The famous Belgian press again. They've quoted Lukaku in the past, haven't they, and all these players.
Yeah.
Now, Mignolet's on about, he's been out for 2 weeks, he's been missing football. And we put up with him for 3 years, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think he's a very, very average keeper. And I would, no hesitation, keep Karius in on Monday for me. I don't know, a lot of things.
Well, I think, I said at the start of the programme that I would keep Karius. Because if you leave him out, Karius, are you then saying to him, you know, when the big games come, you're not playing? I don't think you can do that. And Mignolet, I think he's a good shot stopper. I think everybody appreciates that. But he's never going to sort the crosses thing out. The only thing I would say in his defence...
Robbie, just turn your radio off, will you, mate? Just turn it down.
Sorry, go on.
The only thing I would say in his defence is that he's had a lot of defenders playing in front of him who keep changing, and is that the echo? And they keep changing and stuff. But let the German boy play. Let him play and let's see how he does.
That's right. I think, see, Mark, what does matter is everyone says he's a good shot stopper. Isn't that part of the goalkeeping anyway?
Yeah. No, it is. It is. But he is. You can't get away from the fact that he is a good shot stopper. But you're absolutely right. You can get shot stoppers in every single league, as we know.
Karius hasn't had the shot to save in the 3 games he's played for Liverpool.
Yeah, somebody said to me, he looks a bit dodgy, looks a bit rusty, and team keeps winning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why would you worry? I just think it's really difficult. If you say to Karius at 6:30 on Monday night, actually, I'm going to play Simon Mignolet, and Karius goes, why?
What would that do for his confidence?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So let him play.
Also, Steve, can I make another quick point here?
Go on.
If it's possible. It's an off-the-field point, actually, regarding Liverpool. What does Laurel think about this thing with this Anfield Road stand now?
I think it's a certainty.
That we can't build it because of the money.
Well, I think you look a little bit deeper. Not only the money, if what's one of the main things about the main stand is another 8,000 people, but it's also the amount of corporate money that the club are going to get. You wouldn't get that in the Anfield Road end. You wouldn't want to... I don't think many people would pay lots of money to watch a game from behind the goals. Am I wrong, Sharpie? I don't think so. Mm. I think you want to be halfway line and you want everything. And I think they've looked at it, the Americans, and they're probably thinking, would it make that much difference? And I would say no.
There was a really interesting comment from John W. Henry 2 weeks ago where he intimated
he laid the ground, didn't he?
And then Ian Eyre has sort of made the top of the cake with this, and he said that it would cost between 60 and 70 million to rebuild the Anfield Road end of the stadium. He says it's not a smart business investment. No. And the business investment for the main stand is they've borrowed all the money, haven't they? So basically, they borrowed the money to redo the
main stand.
But
they reckon they'll pay it back within 5 years, don't they?
Is it 5 years? Is it that soon?
I'm sure I read somewhere that they thought they'd get the money back within 5 years.
Right, so that's 8,500 extra seats in there. But they did the Anfield Road end. Basically, Ayres saying it wouldn't pay for itself.
No.
Mm.
But Steve, is Balotelli, Stuart Down, Andy Carroll good business investments?
No, but you're up.
There's £60 million. Plus the fact, what you've got to remember is, Jürgen's hot on atmosphere at the match, isn't he? That's what he prides himself on. Bigger atmosphere, make the team play better, everything else.
Yeah.
So if there's another 4,000 people behind the goal...
But hold on with that. then if you're making the Annie Road end bigger, aren't you getting more visiting supporters?
No, because it's only allowed a certain percentage, aren't they? Like what the
Percentage must go up though. If your capacity goes up, the percentage goes up.
No, it doesn't, Mark, because at Old Trafford, the old 78,000, you only get 3,000 fans there.
All right, okay.
It's only in cup games you get a bigger percentage.
Yeah, you do. You get 10%.
So it's a better atmosphere, a bit more people there. Plus the fact, surely Liverpool can afford £70 million to build a stand.
Or would you have two players?
Yeah, but if you get in the Champions League next year, no, it's all ifs and buts. Mm. With all the telly money we're getting and bigger revenue this year for the money, surely Liverpool Football Club can afford £70 million to build an extension on the stand.
Obviously not.
Oh, just a quick one on that. Was the main stand not meant to be named at some point? There was a lot of conversation, wasn't there, before it was built, that it would be naming rights?
Yeah, I think they're after a decent company, aren't you, to name it?
Right.
And if you get a decent company saying, that's Steve, you can name them Anfield. And at the end of the day, me personally, a Liverpool fan, I'll always go to Anfield, even if Anfield gets renamed.
Yeah.
You go to Arsenal, you don't go... You say now because Arsenal, the Emirates, you say it's Arsenal.
Yeah.
But as a fan going the match, you say, I'm going to Arsenal away now.
I think the other thing is as well, is I think sometimes they float the ideas out to see what the supporters think. Mm. I think they just chuck it in and say, right, chuck that in this week and see what they say. And if it gets absolute slaughter, they go, well, maybe not. They just test the water.
Robbie, some great points. We have to move on, mate. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, boss.
Take care. Let's move to Martin in Easton. Welcome to Legends, Martin. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm warm now. I'm sitting in the car. It's getting a bit teeters out here. As the saying goes. Yeah, not too bad. Just one quick one on that. I think Ian Ayres said it was something to do with the fact that they're not going to do it because it's a behind the goal stand and they can't put enough executive boxes in to get the money back or something. I don't know. That was something that was in the Echo that was said.
We just said, isn't it?
Although I do wonder why couldn't you have executive boxes behind the goal?
No, you can do.
Not sell? Well, let's move on from that. Don't
talk executive boxes in front of them. They've got cardboard boxes.
Go on, Martin.
No, I mean, I was going to say to Sharpie, I mean, other people have touched, but I'm not so happy with Martin O'Neill over this James McCarthy thing. Mm. I mean, surely to God, shouldn't he take the advice of the club medical people and say, look, this lad's had an operation. He's only just coming back into training. Now, I'm not being funny, and Laurel will contradict me, but I'm sure if James... This is just my feeling. If James McCarthy played for Liverpool, Man United, Man City or Arsenal, he wouldn't have called them up because it was little old Everton, and he tried to flex his muscles. And if you look at it now, from what Ronald Koeman's saying, it's obvious he's unhappy. He's being polite about it. I think fuming's more...
Do we know if Martin O'Neill and Ronald Koeman have had a conversation about it? We don't know, do we? They may well have done.
I think Martin O'Neill being in club management
would understand
the situation, you know. But I still,
he likes McCarthy as well.
Yeah, and I just think I agree with you a little bit. I don't think he should have played the two games. I think
maybe Sharpie, he said to him, look, I'm going to play him in the first game, and if he's all right, I might play him in the second game. Mm. And maybe Koeman sort of went, well, there's nothing he can do anyway, is there, once he lets him go?
Yeah.
You can't be asking every manager, every club manager, can you?
Sometimes you want a bit of common sense. And that's all you're asking for. If it's your player and he's come back after an injury, you want to say, tread carefully. You know, let's see how the game's progressing.
Is he likely to start at the weekend?
I wouldn't think so.
Definitely not now.
I wouldn't think so.
Definitely not now.
Do you think he would have done if he only played one match?
Yeah. All depends how he wants to play against City.
I think it depends on how Gay's come back, you know, because he's got further to travel. But I was going to say to Sharpie as well, I think we can play on Stonesy on Saturday because we know him inside. And I think, you know, the stick Ross Barkley's taken has been unfair. John Stones is the same age and at the same point as his career. Now, I played centre-half, nowhere near the same level as you. I played non-league, the likes of Whitney and people like that. He's not learning the basics. He's still doing them stupid Cruyff hair. He's not potential any longer. The press now love him. He's at Man City. Apparently, he should be the England captain over Henderson. And even as an Evertonian, I don't think that. He's not good enough. I think we can find him out Saturday. I think if Brom's got switched on, you let him try one of his stupid Cruyff turns, and as he turns, nick the ball off him and bag one past you know, that idiot who's in goal, because to me, he's another weak point for Man City as well.
Martin, I wish he was just so hopeful, but listen, I think you're a bit cruel there in John Stones. I think he'll be a fabulous player. You know, and he'll be looking forward to the game as well. Listen, yeah, I think you got the way it happened. You know, it soured a little bit, but it soured a lot of people. But I still rate him as a first class footballer.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that we'll highlight him. I agree with you a little bit with the goalkeeper. I don't think he's as good with the ball at his feet as the manager thinks he is. And I think we can maybe get after him a little bit. But for us to upset them, we need to play at a high tempo. Yeah. And Koeman's been saying all along about fitness. I look at Everton in the last couple of games and, you know, it's been disappointing. But to get a result at City, we need to be at it. And the front four especially need to work their socks off. If they can do that and put City under pressure, we've got half a chance. If we sit back and allow them to play, you know, on the big pitch and the players they've got a lot of quality. We could be in trouble. So hopefully, you know, we can get something from the game. But picking out John Stones, I'm not sure.
Nice one, Martin. Go and warm yourself up inside. We're going to move on to our last call. Just a quick one. You mentioned the Cruyff turn. You saw that from the other night. Is Cruyff? Did you watch that and think, what are you doing? Or did you watch it and think, nice piece of skill?
He got away with it a little bit. Didn't he? Yeah. That's the thing. I just
would you have had a go?
No.
You never ever.
No,
went to those
knee
territories.
Would have come out. Absolutely no chance. No, but you need to, you obviously used to come out and play, but you just it's horses for courses. But I think the problem is with John Stones now is that everybody expects him, and I think he thinks people expect him to do things like that. And which he's going to be a really, really good player. What's not helping him with England is Cahill. Cahill has been like a dog's dinner the last few games for England. When that boy doesn't play with John Terry, he is so not the same player.
Right, let's squeeze another caller in before the end of the show. It's Kevin who's in Melling. Welcome to the Legends, Kev.
Hi, boys. Nice. As always. Right. Well, what it is, Mark, obviously the United game coming up, we may have a couple of injuries, you know. I'm just wondering, you know, like teams now tend to, I seem to be on to Liverpool, to press them for the first 20 minutes, you know, maximum at the game. Now, obviously, whether United come and do that, I don't know. But because of the injuries and whatnot, I'm just wondering whether he'll change the team round a bit. Now, what I had in mind.
I don't think he will. I was going to, sorry to cut across you, but when you say the team does maximum, I'm not sure that they have, you know. I'm thinking Tottenham away. Liverpool were much the better side. Chelsea away, Arsenal away, home games definitely. I don't want to go. I never like to go too much overboard about Liverpool, but they look almost as good as Manchester City at the moment in this league. Yeah. They look the second best team in the league at the moment. We know things change. You know, players lose form, and we know they get injuries. But I would say is Liverpool are the best team in the league without the ball, bar nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't deny that, Mark. I'm just concerned now that teams are on to, like Swansea did last week, that maximum pressed them for the first 20 minutes, hoping to try and nick that goal and then sit back. And United, you know, past masters are sitting back and things like that. But, you know, we've got a lot of height in the team. And all I was thinking about was possibly going three at the back. You know, obviously subject to injuries, with Klein and now Moreno at the wings, you know, to really, because they can get up and down and press as
he
well.
He won't do that. He won't. Mm-hmm. He won't go through at the back. He just will not do that.
Yeah.
He's always said he will never ever do that.
I just thought it was on this particular one, you know, because obviously with Valencia, and I'm concerned that Milner, you know, as good as he's been with the pace of Valencia against him, you know.
You know what I think would be really interesting about Monday is I'd like to see how much of the ball Manchester United are going to have in dangerous areas.
I'm looking at United's back four, and I think if
you can get at them, Chopper.
Yeah, Danny Blint is especially with the movement of the Liverpool players. I think, you know, the big boy Bailey's come in and done okay when it's a physical confrontation, but this isn't a physical confrontation in terms of the Liverpool front four, but it's all about movement, you know, pass and move. And I think back four of the central defenders of Man United can be exposed.
And the other thing about that is, and you know from your own experiences, if you actually don't mark anybody, it's really strange. Mm. And the way Liverpool play, defensively, teams don't really mark them because they're all over the place and they're dropping off. No, Firmino doesn't go and sit up against the centre-backs. He comes away from them all the time, and then if it's not him, it's Sturridge. And I just think Liverpool are really, really difficult to play against.
Kev, scoreline quickly.
2-2, you know.
2-2.
Wow, Kev.
See you, Kev. You got to go. We've got 10 seconds.
2-0.
2-2, 2-0. Sharpie's going for a what for Everton?
A draw.
I went draw, Sharpie. 1-1. One,
one. You're very diplomatic tonight, aren't you?
Very much so.
A bit of a Scotsman in you. The Legends will return on Monday. We'll see you then.